On a phone line, Caitlin Hayes is the program manager at the Smithsonian Transcription Center. And I think there's two questions that come to mind. One is, how do you determine what is meritus, right, of being in the Smithsonian? And how are you able to sort of manage all of these online people, this crowdsourcing that takes place? Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if I or you or Phyllis Diller calls up the Smithsonian and says, hey, I've got all this stuff, do you want it? And they go, yeah, we're going to take a pass. The jokes really weren't that funny. I mean, how do you decide what warrants being in the Smithsonian? Caitlin, you were telling us about the Phyllis Diller archive. Is it possible that you all would have met with her and then decided to take a pass? I mean, how do you decide who gets in and who doesn't get in?
Yes, that's a great question. So she actually wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Smithsonian at the time, Secretary Small, in 2003, asking if the Smithsonian would be interested in some of her memorabilia. And so some curators from the Museum of American History went out there because the museum does collect on, you know, the history of pop culture and sort of some of the major kinds of individuals and events and topics that shaped our nation's history. And so they went out there and they met with her and said, of course, we want your stuff. And she had, you know, some of her famous outfits and wigs, as well as this incredible 4 feet tall card catalog with all of these index cards of her jokes. And so that's how we acquired them.
And I wonder, then, do you have to sort of say, but here's the cultural relevance of Phyllis Diller. Is it that she was sort of a breakthrough comic in an era where that was dominated by men? Or it's maybe a recollection of what the times were like in the 1960s? You do learn a little bit about America reading her jokes, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she had a really incredible, you know, multiple decades long career. And she became the first solo female comic to be a household name. She really developed this stage persona of an incompetent housewife that drew upon a lot of the perspectives and ridiculous domestic expectations of the feminist movement of the 1950s and 60s. So she really represents a number of things, not only, you know, women sort of breaking this glass ceiling in stand-up comedy, but also these sort of larger political and cultural and social movements and conversations that are going on around expected gender roles,
right,
and
right,
societal expectations. And so she's really an important figure in American history for a lot of reasons, and thus, you know, really deserves a place here in the Smithsonian. And we are just thrilled to have some of her collection.
So never mind how funny the jokes are, although some of them are funny and some of them you just go, meh. But it's different when Joan Rivers says it and she's wearing that wig and smoking that cigarette and wearing that dress. And maybe Joan Rivers and Roseanne Barr and everybody else stands on her shoulders a little bit, right?
Absolutely. You know, so of course there were women before and after Phyllis Diller that shaped the field of comedy in multiple different ways. But, you know, she's sort of really heralded as one of the biggest to kind of break through and really make a name for herself, doing her own tours and, you know, headlining her own shows in a way that other female comedians hadn't really been allowed to do before her.
Fang tried to prove he is not superstitious. He walked under a 5-foot ladder, darn near killed him. He's 5'11". And then everybody goes, ah, ha, ha, ha. Phyllis Diller, you're so funny. So are you asking the public to crowdsource help transcribe other things as well?
Absolutely. So the Smithsonian Transcription Center is the Smithsonian Institution's largest digital volunteering platform and only crowdsourcing volunteering platform here at the Smithsonian. So we are a website available all the time to anybody, although you need to be 14 or older to register for an account, but anybody can transcribe anonymously. And you can just go to transcription.si.edu, and we always have new projects. We add new ones every single day of materials, historic content from.
Give me an example. What are you asking people to help with right now?
Yeah, so we have materials from the Freedmen's Bureau records, from the National Museum of African American History and Culture. We have scientific field books related to expeditions that went on in the 1800s from the Smithsonian Institution Archives. And we have many, many other materials, including content from airline pilots and NASA employees from the 20th century from our Air and Space Museum archives. So all kinds of stuff.
So I would read, I would go online, I would see these things, and then I would be typing something up in a certain format and essentially uploading it to your platform. Is that it?
Kind of. So you would just go to the site, you would click on a project that you see, any project that you're interested in and any part of that project. And then you can transcribe as much or as little as you'd like in the actual on the page. So you don't have to type it somewhere else or upload it. You can just type it on that page. We have a transcription box next to each sort of image of the historic document. And then you can save it. And then other volunteers can come help review or add to that transcription. So it's really collaborative. And you can participate as much or as little as you'd like.
Who knew? Caitlin Haynes, Program Manager, Smithsonian Transcription Center. So the website I go to is transcription.si.edu?
Yep.
That's fascinating. I'm going to check out more of that. I will connect with you again. But Caitlin, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That's the Smithsonian, Caitlin Haynes.